You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Great to see all of you this morning. If you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to turn it to Matthew. It'll also be up on the screen in a little bit, Matthew 6, 19 to 21. But before we hear it read this morning, just want to give you a little background on it, mainly by saying, welcome to the Sermon on the Mount. Have you heard about that before? The Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' swan song. It includes, are you ready? The Beatitudes, the Golden Rule, the Lord's Prayer, and a stack of very, very familiar other sayings that even if you didn't know it was from the Sermon on the Mount, you would say, ah, that sounds very Jesus-y, right? I mean, this is a very intense section that I encourage you to look at for some of the basics of what we're on about as followers of Jesus. Now, this is a part of the sermon that we're going to hear today that is particularly directed at the hypocrites that Jesus is observing. He's making comments about their kind of self-centered piety. And it seems like a pretty practical, you can't take it with you message, culminating with a pretty famous bumper sticker in and of itself. You've probably heard it before if you've been around church at all. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also, right? There your heart is also. So the goal of this whole thing is to, what Jesus says right off the bat is to store up treasures in heaven. So what does that exactly look like? How does that go? How do we go on about doing that? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's hear our passage from Matthew 6.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, we're thankful for these words of encouragement and guidance from the earliest days of what it meant to be followers of Jesus. And so we long for your Spirit to be present here in this place so that we might hear these words with new ears and that none of us would leave this place unchanged. We gather as followers of Jesus. Amen. I'm apologizing to the lawyers that I know that are in the room right off the bat for my lawyer joke coming up. Are you ready? A long time ago, it seems that a man named Strange died, and his friend asked the tombstone maker to inscribe the tombstone with the following words. Here lies Strange, comma, an honest man, comma, and a lawyer. Right? The inscriber of the tombstone said that he thought that inscription would be rather confusing because passersby would tend to think that there were actually three different men buried under that stone. Right? Strange, an honest man, oh yeah, and a lawyer. Right? So he was not without suggestions. So he put it out there and said, you know, I think you might want to say instead, here lies a man who was both honest and a lawyer. And then as people walked by, they couldn't help themselves by reading that and going, oh, that's strange. Right, right? Talk in the last few weeks about how to be a good dead person. And the first 2 weeks, the first two facets of being a good dead person, well, number one was being limited and how that's actually a good thing. And number two was planning for the end of life. And both of those things require planning. This step today of leaving a legacy is the only one that you can achieve without any planning whatsoever. Because whether you plan for it or not, you're leaving a legacy. Whether you do it or not, the question is, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? Perhaps one of the most famous posings of this question comes from Dickens' Christmas Carol. You remember it well, right? The ghost, Jacob Marley, comes back to visit his partner, Ebenezer Scrooge. And Scrooge is given a glimpse of what just might his fate will be if he doesn't change his ways, what his legacy is going to be. So in our passage today, Jesus is essentially channeling Jacob Marley, doing a really good job here of saying, look, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I mean, what is he exactly talking about? Where are we talking when we talk about treasures on earth or in heaven? I think the passage here is really clear. It says that anything that is vulnerable to being ruined, lost, broken, or stolen, that's treasures on earth. But what does he mean by storing up? Well, he's not talking about prudent stewardship here, but about our tendency to hoard things. We want as much stuff as we can, and we make idols out of stuff. So here we're supposed to store up treasures in heaven, which can only, of course, mean one thing, right? Giving money to the church. Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe that could be one, but it's not the only one. Maybe it's the food bank that supplied meals during tough times in your life. Maybe, like me, it's something that would help students go to college, which I got a scholarship to help me go to college. Maybe you've been the recipient of some kind of act of kindness. Maybe you were a participant in a program for personal enrichment. Or maybe you were the beneficiary of cutting-edge medical research. Or maybe you were given sanctuary in a domestic abuse shelter. Or been inspired by quality arts or a music program. And how are many of these programs and advances in our culture possible? In large part, they're possible through the generosity of those who laid up their treasures beyond themselves, of people who have chosen to leave a legacy that reflects their priorities and their passions. About 6 or 7 years ago, our family went to visit Laura's 99-year-old great-aunt Adelie in northern Arkansas. We used to try and get there once a year to see her when she was still alive, but that last year was different. She'd already moved into an assisted living center, and her house in Sydney, Arkansas, where she was the Empress of Sydney, population 75, she had everything and had already been all packed up, the car, all the belongings in the house, all the contents were packed up, ready to go to auction. And when we were visiting her at the assisted living center, she took the kids aside, kind of conspiratorially, and she said, I want you guys to go back to the house, and I want you to pick out anything you want. It's yours. Take it. Anything. So we got back there, and the kids picked out a painting, a ceramic dog, and a necklace, all meaningful reminders of their aunt, small reminders of that legacy of love that they associated with her. Now, that's certainly one way to be remembered. It's intimate and it's personal, but there are other ways too. And over the years, it has been a constant surprise to me as to who does, and especially who doesn't, do the work to leave a legacy beyond their immediate family, say, to their alma mater, or to their church, or to a nonprofit that's doing work they're passionate about. One of the things that I have learned serving on the Dean's Advisory Board at Boston University is that people need to be reminded to leave a legacy. People need to be reminded often. Charitable giving is not just for the wealthy. People from all walks of life can make a difference in the lives that follow through all kinds of giving. I'd like to share with you a brief video that was put together by people that wanted to make the same point.
Hello, my name is Bill Cobbs. I'd like to tell you about a few people who have made an extraordinary difference in the lives of others. People who exemplify the Leave a Legacy mission. They made sure to remember in their wills the causes they held dear during their lifetimes. And now, their legacies live on. In her life, Leah McCartney broke down barriers. Leah was the first African-American woman to earn a law degree from the George Washington University School of Law. And she went on to become the first female judge in her community. Even though she died in 1984, her name and love of education live on. The Judge Leah B. McCartney Scholarship helps two students every year realize
Methodist
their dreams
Woo-hoo.
Of going to college. Tom and Dorothy Morris of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, had no children, but lavished their love on animals, especially cats. When Tom and Dorothy passed away, they left their life savings to establish scholarships for aspiring veterinarians. Today, their request provides several scholarships every year. Jack Eggers worked most of his life as an elementary school janitor and was beloved by all who knew him. In 2003, Jack fell ill with an aggressive brain tumor. He had lived a quiet, modest life, blessing those around him with simple acts of encouragement and love. But Jack had one last blessing to give. He left every penny he had saved through his lifetime to his school, church, and community foundation. Today you can hear the laughter of children playing on the Jack Eggers Memorial Playground and see them growing in wisdom in the updated school library. These wonderful people have continued to make a difference for others, even when their love can only be fondly remembered in our hearts. These true stories remind us that we all have something to share, that we can make a difference in the lives that follow. Make a difference. Include a gift to your favorite charity in your will or estate plan. To find out how, visit leavealegacy.org.
Some of the numbers are just staggering to me. That according to research, only 8% of people choose intentionally to support the causes and the organizations that are making an important difference in their community with planned giving. Only 8%. That's it. Well, I have children and I have relatives. Shouldn't I leave everything to them? No, you shouldn't. Absolutely not. And I'm no expert on this, but depending on the intricacies of tax laws and where your estate falls, actually leaving a gift to charity in your will may reduce the tax burden on your heirs. And that's something that you would need to check into. But the bottom line is, there are over 320 million Americans, over 2.5 million of us die every year. And according to the 2015 figures, which is the latest that I could find, only 36% of Americans, that's a three and a six, 36% of American adults have a will at all. I don't know what it is, but it's going down. In 2000, the percent was 47% of people had wills. I think it must be the baby boomers who have convinced themselves that they're not going to die, right? So that means that for all of us that say we want to leave a legacy, 64% of us are leaving it completely up to chance, completely. Now look, even if people don't say it, I think most people want to be remembered, right? Do you want to be remembered? And that means that most of us want to be remembered because our lives had meaning or significance to someone other than ourselves. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't plan for your future, even what you think your legacy may be, may turn out differently than you expect. My friend, Reverend David Reagan, who's preached here a number of times, he was appointed to the United Church of Christ in Sedona. And on one occasion, he was doing a funeral in Sedona, and he had to take a picture of this one tombstone, which was there in Sedona. To our mother, Mona Harold Vanney, you spent your life expressing animosity for nearly every person you encountered, including your children. Within hours of his death, you even managed to declare your husband of 57 years unsuited to being either a spouse or a father. Hopefully, you are now insulated from all the dissatisfaction you found in human relationships. Buddy, Jackie, and Mike. Do you want to be remembered? Don't leave it up to your kids, right? The sad thing is that most people don't leave a legacy other than not leaving a legacy. That's their legacy. The largest group gets remembered through infrequent visits to their tombstones, or maybe materials left in their will, money, house, whatever. And, you know, that stuff goes sooner than you'd think. It's gone. But there is a way to guarantee eternal life, as it were, to live on posthumously through something you created or left behind. You have to talk to specialists on this, including your attorney or financial advisor, or someone at your favorite nonprofit organization. Learn as much as you can about various charitable gift options and the kind of gifts that make most sense for you, your favorite charity or nonprofit, and your ego, right? Let's not forget about how important it is for our ego to do something like this. Now, there are all kinds of ways, and I'm not going to go into details about all the ways that you can do it. You can give a direct gift to a nonprofit of some kind. You can just bequeath a specific sum. You can create an endowment. We have an endowment here at the Fountains. You can make annual distributions for a particular purpose. You might have a trust or a gift annuity. You might establish a memorial fund in your family's name. There are all kinds of ways that you can live on beyond yourself. And the important thing out of all those different options is simply that you do it and that you don't wait. But if I start planning that way, it means I have to admit that I'm going to die. Yes, you are going to die. Get over it. Get over it. The question is, are you going to be a good dead person? That's the whole point of what I'm talking about. John Wallach was an award-winning author and journalist. He was not a rich man, but in 1993, he founded a summer camp in Maine called Seeds of Peace. He was sure that given the opportunity, the children of war could plant the seeds for a more secure future wherever they were from. Now, 15 years after his death, despite all of his other awards and accomplishments, one of the things that has had the most lasting effect on the world and has outlived him and continues to grow in effectiveness and impact on the world is Seeds of Peace. It started with 46 Israeli, Palestinian, and Egyptian teenagers. They were brought over from the Middle East to a camp in Maine and spent the summer together. Now it has expanded to include young leaders from South Asia, Cyprus, the Balkans, all over Europe. Its leadership network of alumni now encompasses nearly 6,700 young people some of whom are now in their 30s and 40s and are entering into leadership roles in their countries. And guess what? They have connections across previously unimaginable barriers. The program continues through Seeds of Peace. Now, along with the summer camp in Maine, the program continues now with year-round regional dialogue meetings, conferences, workshops, educational and professional opportunities. It allows participants to develop a lasting empathy, respect, and confidence, equipping them with the communication and leadership skills necessary to advance the cause of peace. And probably one of the biggest things that they are trained in is to effectively undermine, and this is important, that they are trained to effectively undermine the previous generation's resistance to reconciliation and coexistence. So that's one of the biggest problems. Seeds of Peace has built a network of 6,698 change makers who are gaining influence and changing the status quo all over the world today. And I really encourage you to go to their website, seedsofpeace.org, and check it out. So when you think about John Wallach's legacy, how are you feeling about yours? Right? You know, we all can't be John Wallachs. And it doesn't have to be huge. But with all of our efforts combined, it can make an amazing difference in the lives of real people. A number of years ago, our annual conference speaker here in the Desert Southwest told us that there are really two major reasons why people don't go out of their way to leave a legacy. Why people don't give to their nonprofit of choice or their churches in particular. The first reason is that the church doesn't ask. The second reason is that people don't trust the church to handle their money effectively. Well, today, I'm asking. And as for the second one, we have worked really hard at the Fountains to get everything in order financially so that we can be good stewards of your gifts. We've established an endowment fund. We have the most effective financial team that I can remember ever having at this church, which keeps an eagle eye on everything and is doing great. And so today I want to share with you a new initiative that we've been working on for quite a while. If you look in your handout, you'll see a brochure that invites you to join the Fountains Wesley Society. We want to encourage as many of you as we can to invest in this unique ministry of the Fountains. I'm not going to go through every step of it right now, but suffice it to say that once you look over what it means to be a member, it simply means that you fill out a confidential form that says, hey, I've talked to whoever it is helps me with my finances, my attorney, my advisor, and I have agreed to include the Fountains in my will, trust, whatever it is, and you sign it. We don't need a total. We don't need anything like that. We just need to hear from you that you've said, yeah, I am wanting to do this. And there are all kinds of ways that then that can be executed when you pass, and there are all kinds of benefits in the meantime. And if you'd like more information, you can just sign this brochure and hand it in to us, and somebody from the endowment committee will be in touch with you. Given the net worth of people in this church, I have no question that we would be able to realize a very effective endowment for the continuation of the unique ministry that is the Fountains into the future. And what will those dollars support? They'll support what you want them to support. Someone in this church thinks that summer camp makes a big difference in the lives of kids and has already made scholarships available so that we can send our kids to summer camp. Why not make that in perpetuity so we can send all of our kids to summer camp? Someone here thinks that Valley Interfaith Project is important enough that they ponied up and paid for our initial membership to that group. Why not make that something that's in perpetuity? The same with Stephen Ministry. We have to keep training Stephen leaders It's one of the most effective ministries at this church. Why not make your legacy part of supporting that ministry? Someone here thinks that it would be important to reach out to at-risk kids in Fountain Hills with healthy food and constructive activities during school breaks. You know, we have a lot of kids whose parents work. And not to single anyone out, but especially next door in the reservation. The parents work and the kids have a whole week off during fall break or spring break, and they don't have anything prepared to eat. They don't have activities to keep them out of trouble. Can we make something happen that would reach out to these families? Someone thinks that music is important at this church. Music? Or maybe air conditioning is important, right? Can we lay the groundwork to guarantee the support of the great music that we have at the Fountains, or maybe the replacement of our aging HVAC units? Something we got to plan for. The world is a-changing, and churches are being closed all over the country because of lack of funding. When Nat and I visited Notre Dame in Paris recently, oh my gosh, it's 800 years old, right? And they're not making it on the couple of euros that people are dropping in the bucket as they go in. They've got 800 years worth of endowment, right? That keeps that place running. And we don't need that big of an endowment, but we could certainly make a dent in what it costs to continue this ministry into the future. What can you do to invest in priorities that are inspired by your commitment as a follower of Jesus? Now, I'm not saying the church has to be part of your legacy leaving, but if it's important to you, then don't forget it. Invest in your priorities. When we were in Alaska earlier this summer, we ran across this huge blackboard that was standing just along the side of the road in Juneau, the capital of Alaska. And it was simply this: before I die, I want to. Right? And people come up with chalk and they write down all these great sentiments. Before I die, I want to be a positive force. I want to live sober. Right? Before I die, I want to live fearlessly. Before I die, I want to go to the prom. Wow. Every one of those that people write up there, at its core, is about leaving a legacy of some kind, isn't it? Before I die, I want to do this because it says something about who I am. And that's why our stream of thought today is simple. What is your legacy? Have you thought about it? Have you put any time into thinking about how you want to be remembered, and then laying the groundwork so that might actually happen? This is an amazingly generous congregation. When we set out to raise enough money, enough capital to pay off the mortgage of this building, we raised more than any of us could have ever dreamed. And more than that, there are examples left and right through this congregation of individuals' generosity who have used their resources to do good things through the Fountains in our community. But Jesus suggested that doing good things include more than just here. It's about laying up treasures in heaven. And I hope that for you, that means thinking about more than today and looking forward towards leaving a legacy after you're gone. So to close, let me indulge in what I sometimes like to revisit, which is a top 10 list. Are you ready? So here, the Fountains top 10 from the home office in Nazareth of Galilee. Are you ready? The top 10 reasons to leave a legacy. Number 10, you'll continue to make a difference when you're gone. Number 9, number eight, wait a second, hang on, this can't be right. Wait. What do you think number one is? Yes, that's great. And so as we leave, I want to ask you, What does it take to be a good dead person? How about leaving a legacy? Amen?
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.